Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. In Meditation 3, one of the things that René Descartes is considering that plays an integral role in the argument and the explanations that he's providing by which he's gradually reconstructing his account of reality is the provenance of our ideas. That is, where our ideas are coming from. How are they coming to us? Are they within us already? Are we producing them? Are they coming from outside things? And that's the tripart distinction that he is going to make and then more importantly rely upon. This distinction is sometimes difficult to follow and to grasp, but it's not helped by the language that many of the translations use, which actually comes from Descartes' Latin, which is good to take a look at in this case. We generally talk about three types of ideas that Descartes himself recognizes, and those three, one of them is very important, plays a major role later on, doesn't play such an important role in Meditation 3, innate, and then we have what we call adventitious ideas, right? In the Latin, ex his autem ides, that's of these ideas, aliae innatae, that is, some are born with us, right? Aliae adventitiae, that's coming from something else. And then we have ideas that we can call produced. And when we say produced, we mean produced by us. So let's recap these now, actually looking at Descartes' own words. He says, of the ideas, some seem to be born with me. That's what it means to be innate. That means that these are ideas that we wouldn't necessarily already be thinking, but we already have them within us in some way. And when we direct what he calls the natural light to shine upon them, when we're using our attention, we can automatically access them. And they may take a little bit of, you know, working with to become completely clear for us, but they're there. They're there already. We don't have to produce them by our own work, the operative powers of our mind. They're already within us, just waiting to be called up. Then we have ideas that, you know, we're calling here adventitious, ideas that are arriving in the French literally from outside, dehors. And the notion here is that these are the ideas that would come to us, for example, from sensing visible objects. We see the object and we get the idea of the object, which Descartes thinks of as sort of a image or a representation of it. He uses both of those terms. And we have the idea in our mind then. And we could say that about a smell, right? The smell is a certain image of the thing that we're smelling. We smell something because it comes on us from the outside. Or, you know, it could be that there really is no outside, and these ideas are coming to us from some evil demon, as he suggested, causing us to hallucinate. In that case, it would still be coming from something else, not coming from us. And then he says we have ideas that are made, fait in French, and invented or discovered, inventé, by myself. In Descartes' case, he's talking about himself, or by ourselves. And what would be some examples of this? Well, he gives us a number of examples. He tells us, I have the faculty of conceiving what we in general can call a thing or a truth or a thought, and it seems that I don't get this from anything other than my own specific or proper nature. These are ideas that are so general that I already have them within my mind. I didn't form them by looking at things in the world, but they're already there for me. I use them to make sense of the things in the world, so to speak. When it comes to adventitious ideas, then he says, you know, if I hear something, a certain sound, or if I see the sun, or if I sense heat, up until this hour, I've actually judged that these sentiments or feelings proceeded or arrived from some things that exist outside of myself. And then we can think of the work of the imagination. That would be a prime example of ideas that I have created through my own operative powers. So he says, you know, we can think of sirens, hippogriffs, and all the other similar chimeras, which are fictions and inventions of my own mind. So he says, also perhaps I can persuade myself that all of these ideas would be of that genre that we call adventitious or external, coming from outside. Why? Because maybe they're not born with me, or that they're born with me, or that they were all created by me. Because I don't, at this point in time, have a clear idea of their origin. Maybe the idea of a unicorn was innate. Or maybe I've seen a unicorn somewhere. Now, Descartes then says, all right, what could be a criterion for telling these things apart? Maybe one criterion could be whether it's up to me, whether I can choose or not choose to produce these ideas. Wouldn't that be a great way to separate them? So he says, you know, with some of these reasons that it seems that they are taught to be by nature, and then there's others that I experience in myself that don't depend at all on my will. Often these present themselves to me despite what I do or against what I do. For example, whether I'm, if I'm awake or whether I'm not awake, I feel heat. And for this cause, I am persuaded that the feeling, or rather that idea of heat, is produced in me by something different than myself. Or, you know, we could talk about all sorts of other things. Maybe I hear sounds, or I smell odors, or I have a taste, or I have a feeling, and it's not up to me whether I feel that or not. So he goes on and he says, well, we've got to be careful in these distinctions. First off, the things that seem to be innate. Definitely the things that we see by the natural light, those are innate. And I've discovered some of them already in the meditations. For example, that if I doubt, I must exist. That's something that we can actually say as a truth is already there within me, ready to be found. But I've got these other things that I call my nature and their inclinations, and sometimes they lead me astray. Sometimes they actually don't take me in the right direction. And so perhaps those are actually produced by me. And then he goes on and considers something else that's quite interesting. He says, for the other reason that these ideas must come from outside because they don't depend on my volition or will, I actually don't find that convincing. Why? Because just like the inclinations that I was just talking about are found in me, even though they don't accord always with my volition or choice, also, or similarly, perhaps there's in me some sort of faculty or power which is prone to produce these ideas without the aid or help of any exterior things, even though it doesn't seem to be known to me. What is he talking about there? He doesn't go into any further detail. We might think about that as something like the unconscious or faculty of putting things together in perception against our own choice. When we exercise our imagination, it's not always bringing things up that we are ourselves choosing to imagine. Sometimes our imagination runs away with us, doesn't it? But it would still be ideas that I'm producing myself. They're still coming from me. Maybe if it's things like affective states, like feelings associated with a certain thought, once I have that thought, the fear or anger or joy or whatever it is arises within me. Well, in that case, I'm responsible for producing that. Now, What's the upshot of this distinction? He uses this continually throughout Meditation 3, and it's a good one to keep in mind through the rest of it. And he asks himself, where do my ideas of certain things come from? Many of them, it turns out, he thinks, could not be adventitious, but could be produced. Maybe there is no external world, and maybe I'm the one who's actually producing most of these ideas, whether I realize it or not. So he talks about a number of different ideas of things that we have at our disposal at this point. One is the idea of myself. And he says, that one, you know, I've already got. I've already thought about myself. It includes understanding and willing and denying and affirming and loving and hating, and it goes on and on with all the different modes of thought. But there's something else that's important in this as well. In understanding his idea of himself, he has grasped himself as a substance, as a thing that thinks, right? He's also grasped himself in terms of duration and in terms of number. And this is going to be quite important when it comes to thinking about other corporeal things that are non-animate. He says that I could have gotten my idea of these other corporeal things. I could be producing themselves by taking these basic components of the idea of myself and then just, you know, changing them around in different ways, whether I realize I'm doing it, whether I'm consciously doing it, or whether I'm just sort of happening to do this in the background and then I discover these ideas of books and the world and air and all these other sorts of things. So maybe the idea of corporeal things is really something, instead of being adventitious, instead of coming from outside things that those ideas would be representations of, maybe I've produced those. What about other things like people or animals or angels? Descartes says, I could have produced those ideas. Notice that he doesn't say I could have produced them by thinking about myself and then projecting another self out there. He says, I could have produced those by taking the idea of God and corporeal things and combining them in some way so as to get beings that would be animate, that would have agency, that would have certain perfections. I, so to speak, place them in between God at the one extreme and inanimate corporeal things at the other and put them like right here in the middle as existing things that have a kind of agency, sort of like God. What about my idea of God? This is going to be the one idea, Descartes says, that I definitely could not have produced. So his, you know, long story short, it's actually going to turn out to be an innate idea rather than an adventitious idea. Although in a certain sense, you could say as an innate idea, it is an adventitious idea because it's, so to speak, the stamp that the Creator has placed within a certain kind of creation, right? Human being. But the upshot here is that the idea of God, as opposed to these other ideas, which either I derive from myself because it is the idea of myself, or I derive from myself by taking ideas that I've already got at my disposal and combining them and recombining them and modifying them in certain ways, the idea of God cannot be something like that for Descartes. That's going to be a linchpin for the argument here, and that's part of why this distinction between different main classes of ideas based on their origins is going to be so central in Meditation 3. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.